strippers, rise and shine, and don't forget your booties, because it's cold out there today.
Cold out there every day. What is this, Miami Beach?
Oh, thank God it's not, because we are back here for Groundhog Day 3 of Groundhog Week here on Robin Akiva, Nita Podcast. And now here's the man who did forget his booties when he stepped in the puddle and got hypothermia. It's Akiva Winokur. Akiva, how are you?
I actually was just getting teased by my wife and daughter. That they heard yesterday's story and they're like, wait, is that why you didn't go to work today?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, kind of. And they're like, do you really? They heard me on the podcast. They said, like, do you really think you have hypothermia? I said I might have like the sniffles, but I didn't want
to podcast. They just hear you on talking.
They hear through the walls. Yeah, for
that's,
sure.
That's
no,
the only
they definitely
time.
Don't. I don't think they know the name of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
They don't.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, let's just get to some business up front. We have a little bit of a good news, bad news situation. The bad news is that Eric can't be with us here for this episode of the podcast. We had hoped to do all 7 days with Eric, but he is a busy guy. He's doing the best that he can. And we are under no illusion that the biggest draw about this podcast is that Eric is doing it with us. But unfortunately, he can't be here with us. Hopefully, he's back with us again soon. But we do have a nice surprise for our listeners because, Akiva, you scrambled and got us a great guest for today.
Yeah, I said, this movie is 90 minutes long. On 88 minutes notice, who can I get? I was recording 32 fans, and I stopped the podcast, and I told my co-host, look, you got to watch the movie right now. You have exactly enough time.
Okay. All right.
He said, you know what he said?
What?
He said, we still need to do the Manscaped ad. And we did like a Manscaped ad. So I assume he watched on 1.2 hours.
All right. All right. Here he is. The always Manscaped Alex Chester.
So happy to be back on Renap. So is this the 10,001st day in a row that you've done the podcast? Because things are different.
Yes.
Different is good, right?
Oh, you think we're out of the loop already, maybe?
That's maybe possible.
Yeah, you guys learned all the lessons you need to learn.
No, not
you're ready
even
to
close.
Move forward.
Not even close. We have a lot still to learn here today.
As you and Keith aren't ready to rent a house in Punxsutawney.
Well, you know that you were talking about. I know you just finished watching the movie, so you're talking about all the things from the end of the movie. Keith, at the end of the movie, that I didn't notice this. That Phil says to Rita, "Let's live here." Which kind of makes sense. You know, he's invested like at least 10 years.
The whole town loves him at this point.
The whole town loves him. He's invested all this time all this knowledge that he's accrued. 99% of it is useless beyond like he should be the mayor of Punxsutawney.
For sure.
Yeah. He should have let his brother die as the mayor. So there would have been like an opening for mayor. Mm-hmm. And he would have been like, because he knows every single thing about every single person here. So it's all. But he says to her, let's live here. We'll rent this time, which that last line threw me for a loop. We'll rent this time. He's never bought a house here. What does he mean by we'll rent this time?
Is that definitely what he said, Alex? Do you remember that?
The captions, he says, we'll rent to start is what the caption said.
Ah, okay. Maybe that's what he's saying.
We'll rent to start.
Yeah, we'll start off as rent.
So I think he's making a joke about like how long they're going to commit to being in Punxsutawney.
Mm-hmm. Also,
but otherwise, yeah, if it was this time, then it would raise a bunch of questions. You're right, Rob.
Okay.
Wow, you think there's been like a few February 3rds?
Well,
that'd be crazy.
Rent to start. Yeah. Okay. My bad. You know, the other thing about this project that has been illuminating in a bad way for me has been sometimes I'm so sure of things. And this might be how Akiva feels all the time. I'm so confident and sure about things that I know were in the movie. And then every day I have the opportunity like, oh, there's that thing that I know I said yesterday was right. And then I get to that thing and it's not what I said. Yesterday we had a emailer who said that the auction bid was $339. And so I thought it was $338. And then we get to that
scene.
I'm like,
wow, that's impressive that Rob, is correcting this person.
And we get to that scene in the movie. And of course I'm wrong. And it's just like, oh man, I thought I knew that and I was wrong.
This makes me feel good because I feel like I'm getting called out on this more than you. Now, I think I may have caught this from Chester, who's, I think, maybe the king of this. Everything's all or nothing. He's incapable of thinking that, like, something's either 100%. I can't even say what it was, but we had a debate this week that was like, he made the most sweeping generalization of all time about a number, not a group of people.
A number.
And it was like, I was just saying, like, the majority of whatever, and it was clearly a number.
Yeah. Well, okay, but let's go into detail.
No, let's not.
Oh, my God.
Let's talk about how much Rita pays for him, though. Is that cash? So she counted up all the cents in her purse? Mm-hmm.
That's a good question.
It would have to be, because if she's writing a check, she wouldn't be limited, you know.
Well, maybe that's how much she knows she has in her checking account. It is interesting that they get into like this charity auction. Like, these people do not live in this town. Like, Chris Elliott is being auctioned. Like, he's leaving. Is it just for the night? Is this like an escort service?
And how do they not have a list of bachelors beforehand? Like, anybody who wants can
just
come
rely
up.
On who steps up.
Is there no single man in the whole town? They're just taking strangers.
Just
strange
randos that are here for the night. All right, put them up for auction.
So, I mean, at least Bill Murray is like ostensibly he's a celebrity. A Pittsburgh weatherman. That's a celebility in Punxsutawney. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's also become friends with everyone in town by this point.
Yes, he spent the last 12 hours becoming everyone's friend.
Yeah. Are his broadcasts locally seen in Punxsutawney? Are they getting in Punxsutawney?
Cannot be.
They are not getting Pittsburgh. But I mean, that in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And again, Pennsylvania, I know we have a lot of Pennsylvania listeners. I feel like you either get the news from Pennsylvania or you get the news from Pittsburgh.
Oh, you mean Philly or Pittsburgh, you're saying.
So
Philly or Pittsburgh, sorry.
Yeah, so Punxsutawney receives its television programming from the Johnstown Altoona media market.
We're from, Rob, we're East Coast or coastal elites who have lived in, you know, the three coasts of New York, LA, and Minnesota combined.
Yes.
And there are some real small markets out there, and they still have news channels. That's sort of what's amazed me, that like there are like every small area. I think multiple people who listen to the show who are like news producers in Maine, like every little place has their own. That's why someone's like, hey, I'm in Market 87.
That's less and less true today because of but you raise a good question, Rob, which is, it's only an hour and 27 minute drive from Pittsburgh to Punxsutawney.
Yeah.
Which sort of raises the initial threshold question of, Phil hates being there so much, why do they have to come the day before and book a hotel room in the first place? It's an hour and a half drive. Just come in and out that same day.
I guess they want to make sure nothing goes wrong. I mean, it's early. It's early that they do it. I'd probably have to leave at like, you know, 4 a.m., 5 a.m. to go do it.
Yeah. Oh, I have more. I have a bunch of fact checks from the things Akiva said on the last two days.
Oh, please. Okay.
Akiva, you said there's a bunch of Starbucks in Punxsutawney. The closest one is in Clarion, Pennsylvania, 38 miles away.
Okay. And that's in 2023, not even 1993.
I don't think there were any Starbucks in 1993.
Not even in Seattle?
Well, I mean in Punxsutawney. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Nick wrote in and said what you said, Alex. He said that the local news station is less than 2 hours away from Punxsutawney. There's no way they'd pay for three hotel rooms instead of making them leave at 3 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so you're right. Yeah.
Okay.
Now let's talk about the hotel thing also for a second. So he prefers the bed and breakfast because he said the hotel was a flea bag, you know, last year. In what scenario would you ever prefer a bed and breakfast where you don't even have your own bathroom over like a formal hotel?
Yeah, how bad is that hotel? That's a good question.
It's insane. And also, by the way, a room with a sink and no toilet, I can tell you from personal experience, having lived in a dorm with sinks and no bathrooms, like if you have a sink and no bathroom, everybody's peeing in that sink. And so that is not a great bed and breakfast.
Yeah, in college, I've peed in the sink for sure.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm not like putting on shoes at 2 a.m. to go to the communal bathroom. Of course not. We had a sink in our room. I'm peeing in the sink.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Actually, can we drill down even more? Phil gets in the shower, but first of all, before turning the water on, which like as a new shower, that's a bad move. Like you always got to test the new shower.
Sure.
But also he showers at night only. So he's a night shower guy. Like he wakes up in the morning, goes on TV without showering. That also seems weird.
Oh boy. I guess did he take a shower?
You're going to start a war between the night showers and the morning showers.
So I think it was probably an important piece of the plot that he showered on the night of February 1st because that he's ready and showered to go every single day. Imagine he was like, oh man, I got to take a shower. That he would.
He showers in Pittsburgh. he goes and does the news. Then he drives over to Punxsutawney. He spends the evening there. He wakes up the next morning. He goes and films everything. That whole time, no shower until later the night of the second.
Yeah, I guess go ahead.
I think, so there's a debate, but Rob, are you a night shower or morning shower?
I probably am more night showers.
Yeah, and I'm a morning shower. Alex is like a hot tub guy, I think, or something. Yes. I don't know if he showers. But really, even though I am a proud morning shower, and I also think it's because I'm around more people. Like, I'm walking into the office.
Right.
A lot of people sitting in small conference rooms or whatever. At home, there's just a couple people. They already probably think I'm gross. Like, yeah. What am I going to do? Impress them with being
I don't see anybody. Nobody smells me.
Yeah. But, I mean, people would argue even
nobody
if you lived alone.
Nobody even sees my legs.
Like, it's a sheets or...
do you have
no
legs?
No one's seen these legs since 2012. Mm-hmm. But really, if we're being honest with ourselves, you should probably shower at night and in the morning. At night, so you're going to bed clean and your bed isn't gross. And in the morning, because, like, you're going up and you haven't showered in a while, and it's going to be 24 hours if you don't shower before work.
So you think people should be showering twice a day?
If you're going to work or going out, yes, I think you should probably.
I think everybody's
different.
I'm not
saying I do.
I think it depends on how much you sweat, how much you, expend energy. Yeah. Like, I'm not a sweater.
Yeah, I'm a sweater.
Is this a safe place to complain about my wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. She's not listening to this podcast.
I mean, this is the most safe place to complain about your wife.
It's true. Sure. It's true. Anytime you want to come on, so we'll give you a...
I will not touch any part of my bedroom after I've just worked out because I'm sweaty, like before I go in the shower, out of respect. I'm not going to get into the bed sweaty.
Yeah.
Jen will come directly from working out and just lie in bed. And I'll say to her, like, aren't you going to shower first? And she's like, it's okay. I don't sweat. She claims not to sweat.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. I think she is probably cleaner sweaty than you are not sweaty. I've never once thought, oh, my wife smells. You know what I mean? She just, like, I don't know. It might be a man-woman thing. Like, I do think.
Yeah, I'll co-sign that. I don't think I've ever said it's going to be 20 years that I'm with my wife. I don't think I've ever said that my wife smells bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, are we talking breath also? Or... Or
no, I meant like mostly body.
Oh, no.
You just said this is a safe space.
Yeah.
You know, but as far as like an odor, like from a person, no.
A lot of
it's not. It's not about the scent. It's about like the dampness.
But I'm hard smelling. Yeah. No.
You don't hear about people being hard of smelling often.
Mm-hmm.
Brave of you to admit.
And the dampness. It's for another time.
Andrew and many other people are in the corrections department saying,
oh boy, we're getting so many corrections on this podcast.
So many. Yeah. I didn't know this was
that's why we got to keep going until we get it right. Like, we can't stop until we do a podcast with no mistakes.
This isn't like the New York Times. We have to issue like a correction section every day. But Andrew's one of many people to point out, listen to day two. And does Akiva think that male chickens lay eggs?
Yeah, we were talking about this.
I guess you've never misspoke in your life, Andrew.
Chester, do you even remember when Akiva was talking about chickens? I have no recollection of this.
Well, you have the rooster and you have the hen. Who's having sex with the chicken?
Yeah, but in the movie, movie, like, are there even...
I think he says it tastes, the groundhog tastes like chicken.
Oh, okay. And then how'd we get the
I don't know
eggs?
How Akiva said
I don't know how we
eggs.
Got into gender or whatever, but I misspoke. It's the first time it's ever happened. Mm-hmm. It'll be the last. You all have my apologies. I'm very sorry.
Yeah, boy.
Everyone's smart.
To segue from my Seinfeld reference I just made.
Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed that you guys, having done a full Seinfeld podcast, made no reference to, Brian Doyle Murray, who of course plays the father of the Bubble Boy. And Stephen Tobolowsky, who plays Torque, what's his name? Torque Edmund or whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
The healer.
Yes. Yeah. The triangles.
Do you think anytime we see a show, we should mention that they were on?
No, side. Triangles was a different guy. That guy was fat. Remember, he eats too much and he gets chubby. Elaine doesn't like that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, that's good that we have any other Seinfeld casting people.
Those are the two that jumped to my mind. I haven't checked.
Because it's like the
somebody
early
90s. Did write in.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote in and said, Andy McDowell is a poor woman's Julie Louis-Dreyfus. Someone wrote in and said that.
I could see it.
That's disrespectful. Yeah, similar, similar hairstyles. So, Brian,
there was such a separation of
personality. Yeah.
This movie comes out in 93.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. The Bubble Boy episode is 92. So Brian Doyle Murray lives in upstate New York in 92. And then a year later, he's moved to Punxsutawney in upstate Pennsylvania.
You think the canons are the same of Seinfeld and Groundhog Day?
Mm. Well, Tobolowsky's characters are very different. So
Yeah. Okay. So let me give you a interesting take that we haven't discussed yet through Groundhog Week. All right.
Would you say it's intriguing and noteworthy or just interesting?
Both. Okay.
That's an inside joke for 32 patrons.
Okay. Well, we've gotten into discussing of how does the time loop start? Why does it happen to Phil? Yes. What's going on here? There is an internet theory that says Ned Ryerson is responsible.
Okay. I'm interested.
Ned Ryerson is the devil.
The devil.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Like Sam Smith in at the Grammys.
Just like that. Just like that. He ends up that here we go where Phil, he runs into and Phil just completely just Heisman's him when he sees him. He's like, get lost. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what? You don't remember me? And he basically puts such a negative impression on Ned that he said, I'll fix your wagon. Okay. Puts the hex on him. Mm. And then.
But then how come? But then why when he flips and he shows like love towards Ned, right, does Ned run himself?
Because the devil hates love.
Okay. Oh.
But then finally,
what lesson is he trying to teach?
The very last day. Alex, what happens? What happens with Ned Ryerson on the day that ultimately ends it?
When Phil buys all the insurance,
all the insurance, signs a deal with Ned.
A deal. Oh, he wasn't trying to be friends. He was just trying to make money. I see.
A deal. No. A deal that includes the optional death and dismemberment clause.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. Well, what is that clause? I've never even heard about that. We heard of health and car.
Mm-hmm.
Death and dismemberment.
So maybe.
Well, as Joe Rogan says, the devil does love money, right? So. Sorry.
All right. We'll cut that.
I have another Ned question.
Podcast. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Okay. Sorry.
You get
when Ned tries to get Phil, when Ned tries to get Phil to remember him, he removes his hat to show his bald head. Like, was he bald in high school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is weird, right?
Well, he's Ned the Head. He's Needle Nose Ned.
I have a question about that.
Yes.
Someone said, if you had to tell a guy to stop dating your sister in high school, I feel like you would never forget them. How does he not know that this is the guy who he disliked so much? He'd go over to him and say, get away from my sister, never date her again.
Yeah.
You would remember that person.
I mean, what was the problem? Yeah. He was too big of a loser to date his sister.
Right. Was he like shaming the family's name with his dorkiness? It doesn't make sense. Or is he a creep?
Maybe it's who, Ned or Phil?
Well, he's the devil himself.
Yeah.
So
how old was the sister, I guess, is a good question.
Oh, you think it was an age thing?
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe, you know.
It was like Leonardo DiCaprio in high school.
But that Ned Ryerson, Ned the Head, Needle Nose Ned, do you think that he had a good relationship with Phil? Was he friends with Phil?
Nah, first of all, he doesn't remember him. B, he knows him. Phil was probably one of the cool guys, or at least thought he was one of the cool guys. Mm-hmm. Ned was a loser and like knew that he sort of looked down on him.
Phil never attempts to contact his sister. That one of two family references that are brought up in the movie. The sister comes up twice. And then also Rita is looking for a guy who loves his mom. Phil says, I'm getting very close. We find out that the phone lines, the long distance lines, by the end of the day, the blizzard knocks them out, but they should be working in the morning. Phil makes no effort to contact any family member.
Ever, you're saying. Ever. Like right. So he hasn't missed.
Like to make amends, you mean? Or?
To just say, hey, I'm stuck in a time loop.
Yeah.
They would probably
love you.
There's a lot of, it's not really clear to me. Is he stuck? Why doesn't he try and leave first thing in the morning before the snowstorm?
Unexplained.
Right. Yeah.
No access to a vehicle, perhaps. I don't know. He steals a car later in the day.
Access to a vehicle. He's driving a Mercedes. What? Mm-hmm. Well, that's another question. He shows up to the movie dressed in that poncho outfit, which is very odd, with this very attractive woman, mm-hmm, who is only listed in the credits as Phil's movie date.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where does she come from? We never see her again.
Yeah. We don't know.
Nancy walks by.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We said that yesterday. Nobody gave us any clarity to that scene. It is the most baffling scene in the movie.
Yeah, her name is Sandy Mashmeyer, by the way, Phil's movie date.
Here's what I think. I think that was part of a storyline that they ended up cutting, but for some reason left that scene in the movie. Like, it has to be that they shot something.
Yeah, you're right. Because there's no reason to, like, introduce this other attractive woman, but not give any context.
Mm-hmm. How many times is Alex going to mention that she was attractive, Rob? What do you think?
I don't know. Not enough.
By the way,
she was. Give her
flowers. No, she was very, she was. She didn't get her name.
The French maid?
By the way, French maid outfit is looking very good. And by the way, she's most known for Groundhog Day on IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
Although she also did some fitness videos.
Oh.
Yesterday, I'm sure you watched all of them today. Yes,
on 5X, I had to do a quick.
And then Alex tried to find out if she showers afterwards, but there was no.
Listen, Akiva, they don't call me the fastest jack in Jefferson County for nothing.
Okay. So Rob, we talked yesterday about Sam Elliott's like loser zero character, but you know that they sort of didn't do anything with him. They didn't make any big choices. But I watched a little
you
bit.
You keep calling him Sam Elliott. Sam Elliott is a different guy. I'm like, who's Sam?
That's his dad. That's
Chris
his dad.
Elliott.
It is his father, to be fair. It's not like it's a stranger.
Sam Elliott.
They're like very different.
I know
the
dad. You know,
Chris Elliott's a Nepo baby?
Yeah, I get called Louis all the time. Alex, you ever get called by your dad's name by accident by some like old person from Minnesota? Probably.
No, but let me ask you guys a question. Have you ever been?
Are you sure? Is this fake news that Sam Elliott's son is Chris Elliott?
Of course. Yeah, it's the acting Elliott. Abby Elliott from
couldn't
SNL.
Be more different. It's like a father and kid are both professional athletes in totally different sports.
Yeah, one's like a linebacker and one is like a punt returner.
Yeah, good looking guy with a mustache.
We're getting emails on this. Chris Elliott's parents are Bob Elliott and Lee Elliott. Sam
Akiva, you big liar.
Is not the father. He is not the father. He's not
but
the
Sam Elliott is Abby Elliott from SNL.
Abby Elliott's
yes, that's
the father.
Yes,
he's okay. Chris Elliott. Sam Elliott.
Chris Elliott.
I think Sam and Chris are too close in age, probably also.
Yeah,
you think
famous
uncle,
actor Sam Elliott is not related to
right.
Chris Elliott.
So Chris Elliott, my point stands. So I watched it a little bit more closely today to see what he had going. He is really a creep,
Chris Elliott.
So when Bill Murray steals
the
groundhog, he says, Andy McDowell says, why would anybody steal a groundhog?
Yeah.
And then Chris Elliott, not Sam Elliott, says, I could probably think of a couple reasons, pervert. Who went there? Why did he immediately go to bestiality with the groundhog?
He's judging there. You feel like that he's projecting?
Yeah.
Rob, if someone asks you why someone would steal a groundhog and your first answer is to imply some kind of weird human groundhog sexual liaison, that's more on you than on the person.
I guess so.
Rob, my shirt that says never have sex with a groundhog answers all the questions.
That's fair. That is a pretty good call. Let me ask a question. And I've watched this movie three times this week and I should know the answer to this. But in the last day that Phil spends in the time loop, does he really give an explanation to Rita about what is going on? I feel like there are other days.
No. He specifically doesn't. I think that's important that he doesn't.
Yeah, because I kind of feel like that this relationship that she's like, okay, he has, shown his value by what, like all of, like he's the anti-Akiva at this point. He can do everything and do it well. And so she is like, wow, this is the kind of guy I want to be with. Like, I feel like that she does not really understand the scope of the time loop. And I feel like this is going to come up a lot in the relationship. And I don't know if she's ready for this.
Okay. Yeah. Rob has a great point. We're supposed to appreciate how Phil has changed for the better, but it's still manipulative of him the way he's using this info about Rita, the way he is. And like, as Akiva just said, he tells her he loves her on the first date, which she's cool with, apparently. And like at some point in their relationship, if they're building it based on trust, he's going to have to tell her, like, I learned all this stuff about you. And she's probably
I don't think he can ever tell her. I think he takes this to the grave.
He's got to take it to the grave.
I don't think he can tell her.
It's got to come up once they live in Punxsutawney. Like, how do you know every single thing about everyone in this town?
I don't think
they're
going to
leave the town. and he knows nothing about anybody else in the world. And yeah, he's going to realize the gravity.
It's fine. He knows French. Yeah, he knows piano. He can carve.
He's Kreskin, that he knows everything about every single person he meets.
I know. It's just funny that he's like created the world's smallest kingdom in Punxsutawney, where he could have like really extended. He could have become like friends with the president or something. No, I don't know.
This is great. You want to be the big fish in the small pond.
I guess that's the message.
Much better to be big fish in the small pond. Mm-hmm. You know, these people that go through Survivor, the people that have the best experiences are the people that are from like these like really small towns that become like super famous in their own small town.
Right. Nobody's ever like Manhattan's own for some like, minor reality star or something.
Like there are people that, you know, went on Survivor, you know, 10, 15 years ago that are from small town. They're still the most famous person in the town.
Mm-hmm.
You want that.
Yes.
And this is perfect.
Yeah, no, that is a good point. Yeah, big fish, small pond. That is sort of what he would do. I'd like to know, Rob, Alex, if you were, we talked about this a little on day one, but if Alex, if you were in Bill Murray's shoes during this movie, if you were Phil Connors.
In his booties.
In his booties. What skills would you try and learn? And then like what shenanigans do you think you get up to if there were basically no consequences?
Yeah. So, you know, right at the beginning of the movie, when he does the opening news report, we hear up next, entertainment reporter Diane Kingman looks at sex and violence in the movies. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Like this movie could have used a lot more sex and violence and you guys did touch upon this.
Yeah.
But like, I think that if you could, you know, live the same day over and over with no consequences, mm-hmm. sex and violence would be much more prominently featured than they are in this mm-hmm. family.
Do you think that there should be an R-rated Groundhog Day?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So Alex is saying he would have slept with every single person in the town.
I mean,
well, I think Phil did do that. We just don't see too much.
Right. Probably true.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the movie is rated PG, this movie. Mm-hmm. But I did look this up today because I was curious about the ratings. And there was some discussion on a few different websites about how maybe the movie should have been rated higher, should have been rated PG-13. And I found some websites, because mm-hmm. that the, on Amazon Prime, they described the movie as having like a lot of sexual situations, which that was not my experience. Yeah. With the film.
My fear, if we're going to show this movie to our boys later in the week, Rob, and Alex, you also have a bunch of sons. You could chime in too. The only scene I wouldn't really want them to see is like the toaster scene, just not to give them any ideas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The suicide scenes for 2 minutes. That's about
right. CommonSenseMedia.org. They give like a rating of 1 to 5 about the things. Sex, romance, and nudity. They give it 3 out of 5. Phil seduces women using pickup lines and innuendo. He's shown kissing a woman on the couch and fully clothed in bed. There's a joke about how a woman sounds like a groundhog. I thought he said chipmunk when she gets really excited. References made to spending the evening reading pornographic magazine Hustler. So that's what's going on. They also give a 1 to 5 rating on things like drinking, drugs, and smoking, violence, and scariness.
That was 5, like there's a lot of it. 5
is
good.
5 is a lot. They also give a rating from 1 to 5 on diverse representations. Alex, mm-hmm. can you give a guess of what the film Groundhog's Day got on the scale of 1 to 5 for diverse representations?
I'm going to go with a 0.
It gets a 1. This was not a particularly diverse film.
No.
Yeah.
Although, not I would say, I'm not sure if Punxsutawney is probably the most diverse
in
town.
1992.
No, but I do think that you could count on one hand the number of diverse characters that there are in this film. And characters...
Kiva, how many synagogues and mosques are there in Punxsutawney?
I'm going to guess 0.
Yeah, I think that there might be less than 5 diverse speaking roles in this film.
Yeah. Now,
it is actually,
Rob,
a very surprisingly reading small that, cast mm-hmm. for like a movie that had like big ambitions.
Yes.
In reading the description of the sexual situations, you mentioned how they're in bed clothed. One of, you know, like when you watch, I watched this on Amazon Prime, you know, like there's like fun facts that pop up. It said that in the final scene where they wake up in the morning in bed together, there was a discussion on set about whether the two of them should have clothing on or not. And everyone, like the cast, the director, everyone on set voted, and they voted that they should both be clothed.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. I read differently. I read like a long piece about it. And they said that it was 50-50 And then the tiebreaker where they asked like the youngest person on set, basically like a young woman who said,
well, that's not different.
They You're should just be in the same place. Yeah, no, they said it was just like a 50-50 vote.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, as I said, all Hollywood stories are apocryphal. None of these stories.
I think that they should have been clothed because I think it sends the wrong message that it's almost like the message was, oh, that Phil had to have a consummate the relationship Rita to ultimately get to like to beat the level.
And so, I think there's a practical reason why he's right. She's like the final boss. There's a practical reason in that he has to be unsure when the day starts for dramatic reasons. If it's over and if he's naked, he'd know. So he's in the same clothes. And then it's like, OK, they start playing the same song on the radio and then you realize they're punking you. It's February 3rd.
Punxsutawney. That's what they call it.
That's true.
Now, Rob, when you were reading that description of the rating, you also mentioned how he uses pickup lines on multiple women. Yeah. Can we talk about Chris Elliott's pickup line? Would you be interested at all in seeing the inside of the van?
That's what I said. He's a creep. I can't believe we didn't talk about this more. That's the worst pickup line of all time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The last person who said that line got
a
$12 million lawsuit against them.
Yeah.
And can't get a job with the Phoenix Suns.
When this van's rocking.
Yeah, it is really, that is a really, he is such a creep. He's like rubbing her back afterwards. He sucks. That I feel like there could be a grittier like sequel about this character who is clearly a sick man.
Wow. Okay.
Speaking of.
So we could get a whole series on Netflix out of this movie, you think?
I think we could. Speaking of, but it would get canceled after one season. People who were maybe pulling moves on people. We heard again from Betsy. If you remember Betsy from day one, she had said that she used to show this movie to all potential suitors in college.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Many times. And we wanted to know if she had any specific moves. So she said, I made every guy I dated watch it with me, watch it in the physics lab in college. I said, that's weird in the school. But she wrote in and told us that they snuck in. That's like a fun college date. Okay. Sneaking into like a classroom. And doing it
to watch Groundhog Day and doing it. Akiva,
no, that's not what I said. Betsy says she had bits prepared for the dates, but they were more like discussion questions.
Okay.
That she would ask them.
Well, please share
planned questions she'd ask them afterwards. She says it should be noted that it didn't work. Ultimately, she married a man who refuses to watch the movie with her.
Well, that
she
was
loves
the,
him very
the
much.
Answer to the question.
Uh-huh. She made a
the
deal with the devil.
The only way to win was not to play.
That's right. And to be honest, he probably was not right to watch. He was probably right to not watch it. He's probably like, hopefully he's not listening to the podcast, find out about all these dates in college. But he'll probably have to watch it with me this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, that is, so that we have some answers from Betsy. But yeah, I don't know. My wife also came in. She's like, why are you watching this movie again? And I had to sit it down and explain, Robin Akiva the podcast and the wheel and
Akiva,
this is day three.
Yeah, my wife came in. I'm watching the movie on the iPad and I got to walk around the house and watch the movie. And she's like, aren't you sick of watching that yet? And I was like, you make it like I have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm sick of watching the movie all day.
Yeah, it's like, I also don't want to go to the bathroom multiple times a day.
Did you remind her that she's... been dating you for 20 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Like, I feel like that this comes up all the time of like, that she's like, wait, do you want to be doing that? Mm-hmm. I'm like, 99% of what I do isn't what I want to do.
Hey, honey, do you want to move back to a two-bedroom apartment in New York? Like this, but watching the movie, watching Groundhog Day 7 times built this house, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then she would laugh and roll her.
Yeah. Except not laugh. Yeah.
Okay. So B. Rose points out, he looked up the actress who plays Nancy, and she was born in 1962. Bill Murray, born in 1950. So she would have been 30 when the movie takes place. Bill Murray, clearly not 30. How does she believe him? The Nancy bit, probably, Pete Rose says, probably had to work. He had to work on that for a few days for it to work.
No, we see it. It happens like on day 4 or 5.
That we see, but he's maybe implying that there's a lot of stuff happening.
I don't think
camera.
So. Like, I think that that's sort of like in the very early going, like, I feel like that the first jump of days happens when he goes to the movie theater. And then,
no, I think you're right. But I think Beat's point is good.
But he also tells her that he says, I was short in high school and I've sprouted.
Yeah.
So maybe he's got like that, the Robin Williams jacket.
Ah, so that's why, I mean, she doesn't recognize him. And yeah, there are people, I guess, could be bald at 30. But he also does has one weird choice. I like the movie does with the teacher's name and the class, because if somebody, I mean, I went to a very small school. But Rob, if somebody told you, and I think that happened to you with the ice cream guy recently, right?
Yes, ice cream man.
If someone told you, if some lady told you, hey, I sat next to you in 12th grade English class, first of all, would you remember your 12th grade English teacher's name? Okay. So you'd believe it. But then he says, yeah, I even asked you to the prom. And to me, that's weird because A, she'll know she didn't go to the prom with him. B, she might remember, like, hey, I didn't really get asked to the prom.
Well, it's a reverse Ned Ryerson situation.
Yeah. And C, like, now you're saying, oh, but you rejected me because you were like a loser, or you were short then or something. Like, that's a weird choice that he makes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but the whole thing is a weird choice, because anytime you tell somebody, yeah, we've met each other before and you don't remember me, what you're basically saying to that person is I'm unmemorable. I'm a loser. Yeah.
You have the power in this relationship. Like, the reverse Ned.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, he was, but now he's the big honcho on Channel 9 in Pittsburgh. So.
Mm-hmm. It also comes up for the first time that he has feelings for Rita when he's with Nancy, because he keeps saying her name when he is like, I just feel like that's a weird way for him to sort of like acknowledge that he has feelings for Rita.
So I don't really understand the whole relationship between him. Like, by the end of the movie, he's become a more earnest, kind, understanding person. And at that point, he's the kind of person who would be attracted to Rita. That part I understand. Mm-hmm. But when he's lying in bed with her in that last night, he's telling her that from the moment he saw her for the first time, that he loved her. And like, we know that isn't true, because like, she's like very earnest and like, I always drink to world peace. And like, he's sarcastic and negative. And it doesn't, like, he's not trying to impress her at all at first. He's going out of his way to sort of mock her. Mm-hmm. And so it's not exactly clear to me. Like, again, the Phil he becomes is the kind of Phil who wants Rita. But like, the Phil he is in the beginning doesn't. It takes several thousand, versions of the day for him to get to like her.
You've brought this up before, right?
Yeah. I don't get it.
I just feel like he doesn't even remember the Phil he was 10,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, I feel like that there are things that I was probably thinking, 10 years ago that have, like, no bearing on how I think now.
I agree. It is possible he has some sort of super memory. That seems to be his, like, one superpower. He's got memorization tricks. He does seem to be really good at memorizing things. So, like, it is possible he remembers everything more than the average person.
Well, no, if anything, I think he's developed those skills of how to remember everything.
Oh, sure. That's very
possible.
Over
the course of life. But I don't think he remembers. Like, if you get really good at memory, memorizing things, you don't remember things that happened to you 5 years ago.
Old stuff. That's true. You don't remember the old stuff.
Yeah, I've thought about this a lot about, like, if you got like the me from every like couple of years and like got us all together in like one place to hang out, like that, I don't think that would be that fun of a time. Like, we wouldn't all like the same things. Like, some of the me's are like getting drunk and like partying and being crazy. And then, like, some of the me's are like, oh, I want to go to bed.
You're saying would 20-year-old Rob hate you?
I don't think they would. I'm sure there would be things that we would get in common, but I don't think it would be fun hang necessarily.
Right. Then I don't think he'd be interested in hanging with you.
Yeah. You know,
is the 40-year-old Rob allowed to tell the 20-year-old Rob things that he can use? Like go back in time.
Sports betting stuff?
Or sure. Anything. Yeah.
I don't know. What would I even say? Like, invest in Apple?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Buy crypto, but sell in late 2021.
Sell on this day. You know, start the podcast earlier. I don't know.
Could you go back in time and give yourself a strategy so that you win Survivor?
I wouldn't dare tell myself anything, because I don't want to screw up what ended up happening.
Oh, butterfly effect. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I feel like you can have bigger dreams at that point than winning, a tax $1 million on Survivor.
Don't trust Boston Rob. You got to tell yourself that one at least.
I'm not telling myself anything about this. Like, I feel like everything happened the way it was supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Rob's living, he's saying, the best version of his life possible. He wouldn't want to mess with it.
Yeah, I mean, like, what then? Like, let's say I win a Survivor season, and then, like, what happens if, like, oh, now I'm like partying all the time? What if I am getting I get into drugs?
Drug habit.
I don't meet my wife, and then my kids aren't born. Like, I feel like it's a whole.
But Fair, but in that scenario where everything is different, very possible the Mets or the Jets win a championship, which has not happened in this timeline.
I have thought
about...
Well,
there's pluses and minuses.
Yeah,
you know?
Like that. I think I did have a small impact on the Phillies winning the World Series in 2008, but...
In the butterfly effect sort of way of life, yes.
Yes. That's because, you know, I had memorable like encounters with a woman named Heidi, who went on to become the wife of Cole Hamels. And I do feel like that, you know, I think that she was probably like a galvanizing positive force in his world. I think, and ultimately, like he won like, you know, five or six postseason games in that in the year.
What would you do? Would you sort of like switch the world where he becomes a Met?
I wouldn't do anything. But I think that I probably had some impact on her, which ultimately then had like an impact on him. Like, I don't think I did anything.
I like this idea.
Yeah. I've never had any encounter.
Rob is responsible for the Phillies winning the World Series in 2008.
Which hurts me. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If Akiva could go back in time, he would call Woody Johnson, tell him to draft Patrick Mahomes.
That would probably be one of my
probably names. Want to call Chris Johnson at that point.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, Woody's in UK harassing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about something about the groundhog, that there might be a fallacy to the entire groundhog system here. Okay. Akiva, the groundhog comes out and sees a shadow or doesn't, and it's six more weeks of winter or what?
Or winter's over.
Winter's over that day, February 3rd? It's officially
the end of winter.
I feel like it's early spring, but what are we doing? Like, what's early spring? Like, oh, only four
March
more
1st?
Weeks of winter? Yeah, what are we doing?
Yeah,
like,
March 1st?
Well, we're quibbling over like 10 days?
I mean, nobody said this was like a great scientific experiment. There's a reason why I don't go to Punxsutawney, you know?
Alex, do you have a thought on this? Like, what's the alternative? If it's not 6 weeks of winter, what is it?
Yeah, no, I really don't understand how the whole groundhog situation works. This is a good point.
Mm-hmm.
But I never have.
Early spring start. If somebody has an answer for us, let us know.
It's six more weeks of winter. And by the way, 6 more weeks is not terrible. That means it's over by mid-March.
Winter, as they say in the movie, goes to March 21st anyway. So,
well, isn't it February 2 to March 21 is almost, what is that, 7 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you're getting spring in mid-March, guess what? You're getting an early spring.
That's great.
Yeah. Maybe it's if he doesn't see a shadow, it's longer than 6 weeks. It's 8 weeks. Yeah, we need to know what the alternative is.
8 weeks of winter? You're getting winter till April? Oh, my God.
Oh, you think it's the opposite? No, that doesn't make
sense. No, it's six. I think it's 6 more weeks of winter or early spring. But like what? Yeah. What, like, it's not like that winter's over today. So what constitutes an early spring?
If Phil does not see his shadow, he has predicted an early spring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but how much earlier?
Yeah, everyone's sort of stuck on this word, but nobody can define it.
Yeah, when would an early spring be? Yeah, okay. That's just something that I'm like, I feel like that, you know, everybody's like, ooh, early spring, what a deal. But I don't think it's that much earlier than 6 more weeks of winter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's Rob, I have terrible news for you.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm going to ruin the kayfabe, but it says here the Inner Circle scripts the Groundhog Day ceremonies in advance.
Who's the Inner Circle?
I guess the people with top hats.
The inner circle, recognizable from their top hats and tuxedos, are those who ostensibly communicate with Phil to receive his prognostication.
I mean, I think we really could have explored the whole like inner circle secret society of.
Yeah, they might be in with the devil, honestly.
Maybe they put the the hex on Phil.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like trash talking. In the background, it's possible.
There's something interesting. It says here that according to the lore, there's only one Phil. This groundhog has been alive since 1886. He is sustained by drinks of groundhog punch.
Cap.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Okay. There's a point in the movie when Phil is taking Rita on a bunch of dates. He's going to win her over, okay? And he's trying to get this date perfectly because, you know, if you can correctly predict every single thing a woman likes, then she will go home with you. Everybody knows that. And so that he is, you know, taking her to the candy store. And she says to him, wow, you ever get deja vu? Which I thought is so odd because that Akiva, is Rita in
That's
some
weird.
Way?
It's weird. It's weird.
Is he
she
imprinting
could sense
her?
It. It's the vibes that we talked about, that it felt familiar. But yeah, that is so weird that she says it because she is speaking for the audience at this point, but it makes no sense. She should be the only person not in on the joke.
Now, Phil says earlier in the movie, do you ever have deja vu? And the woman says, like, oh, I'll see. I don't know, but I'll see if the kitchen can make it. But for her to say, it almost makes it feel like that she is able to experience Phil's growth.
Yeah, no, it is weird.
Well, Rob, you do raise an interesting point that a noteworthy point that unlike Palm Springs or Russian Doll, like a lot of the other time loop movies and TV shows, Phil is all alone here. There's never anyone else going through the same thing as him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess that's sort of the wrinkle that these other later movies add to it, where there's other people doing the same thing and they sort of come across them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So is it possible that Rita now, is it once Phil goes through this process, he doesn't forget it, right? It's not like he has the you know, the Men in Black normalizer thing. Like he knows
he
for the rest of his life that he had this experience.
He's so it's not different, like perhaps, he's good. So he obviously has memories.
Sure.
Yeah.
Of all right. Everything. So it's not like Rita had her own experience about this maybe in the past.
In an earlier draft of the script, allegedly she also was going through a time loop also, but they cut that from the script. I don't know how, like, she could have been like reliving like her same day and he would have been reliving his same day. I guess in terms of it being like a like love story, romantic comedy, maybe that might be interesting. And what's that other movie, Akiva?
Palm Springs.
You know, maybe they do a lot with that. But also just going back to when she says deja vu and they're in the candy store, that she at one point says to him also like, and I don't even like fudge. Akiva, the Rita is this ultimate truth teller. Like, why did she tell a lie to Phil that she likes fudge when she doesn't?
That is weird. But is she the ultimate truth teller, or is it just we have to believe as the audience what she's saying?
I guess it's just she's very nice. Now, Alex, I feel like that you're quite a truth teller.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice thing to say. So
yeah, but would you say that people also say that you're nice?
Yeah, I think truth-telling and nice are usually sort of opposite of each other, right?
Like Kramer was a great truth-teller. Nobody said that he's so nice.
Yeah. Aaron, the biblical Aaron, the brother of Moses, one of his positive characteristics in traditional Judaism is that he was very nice because he was not a truth-teller. He would give little white lies to make people feel better.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think those are sort of opposites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had this conversation.
Akiva, you look very handsome today.
Yeah, I've had this conversation with my son about how, you know, like, because that he often will be, you know, more of a truth teller than nice. And I say to him, like, hey, like, where he was trying to tell his brother that he did something very, very, he was very bad at something. And I said, Dominic, but you don't have to like hurt his feelings. You could tell him that he did a good job. He's like, Dad, but you want me to lie and tell him that he did a good job when he didn't? I'm like, well, maybe you could say it in a different way that you were very proud of him that he did the thing, not that he did a good job at it.
He's
like, okay, I'll try that.
That could honestly, that's put that on the census for the next census. Would you rather be nice or honest? Tim asks, well, is it cheating if it's Groundhog Day?
You guys said yesterday it is. Akiva, you said you wouldn't cheat.
Yeah, but Alex is, I asked it because Alex is here and I know he'd have some different takes on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there's, I don't know, define cheating.
I mean, here's what you could like.
It's definitely cheating, but it's a perfect crime.
Is it sinful when he like, you know, kills himself? Or and the other two people?
Yeah.
In the car?
I guess. All right. So this is the question, I think, morally. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you, okay, so let's say hypothetically, like Phil was, are we saying married or even in this relationship with, but let's just say that Phil hypothetically was married, okay? Mm-hmm. And Phil has a extramarital affair, okay, mm-hmm. on one of the days. But on the ultimate day that he graduates from the time loop.
He doesn't know when that day is going to be. So every day, even after 10,000 days, there's still a chance.
Did he cheat if he never actually, in the real time canon, is Phil a murderer for driving off the cliff with Punxsutawney Phil in the car?
Mm-hmm. Even though Punxsutawney Phil is still
alive. Even though in the timeline that ultimately goes to February 3rd, Punxsutawney Phil was not involved in any sort of an accident.
I mean, he's risking it. Every time he's killing or stealing or cheating, he is risking a 1 in 1,000 or 10,000 or whatever.
I still think that was cheating, and ultimately
put it this way.
Yeah.
If you were able to spin it afterwards to your wife or me, I don't think we'd get away with it. Listen, I was in a loop.
Oh, of course. That's a different question.
If, if I confessed to my wife that I had some sort of like a in my dream that I was with another person, that would be cheating. I would be in a lot of trouble.
Wait, in dreams? You get in trouble for dreams?
I would. Well, that's why I don't have those dreams, Alex.
Yeah.
You can't Alex afford it.
That's why I have to wake myself up before that happens.
He pours cold water on himself. At 6:01.
Oh. Yes.
6:01, Alex would be like every morning, we'd wake up, do the long distance call before before the lines went out and explain like, all right, listen, I explain this to you every day, but I'm in a time loop.
Smart.
I'll be out of it one day, but right now you're in the same loop. I'll tell you what you're going to say next, and he'd work on it until
And I can't tell you how many times I've gotten in trouble for having an affair in my wife's dream. Not even an affair. I'm seeing somebody. I don't even know if it's an affair. I'm like, she knows about it.
No, I've had my wife wake up to me in the morning and say, "I'm mad at you because of what you did in my dream." I've had that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I could not imagine the scenario where I would be angry at my wife in real life for something she did in my dream.
Hmm.
But it happens. Okay. All right. How about this one that I have? All right. At the end of the movie, they're on the dance floor, Phil and Rita, and there's a bunch of different people that are coming up to Phil like, "Oh, hey, Phil, I got to thank you. You changed our tire. You did blah, 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 blah." That somebody addresses him as Dr. Connors and claims that Akiva is a message. He texted me that they're in a blackout. Okay. All right. So look, the blizzard got them, Alex.
It's hit Akiva. Wow.
We're down to the engines are getting knocked out of the plane, but
he drove off the cliff with Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah. So
we'll be back at 6 o'clock. Don't worry.
All right. Should we keep going? Let me see.
Yeah. Should we have Jen come on and then
here,
I'll
well, let me see. Hold on. Let me see if I can. Let me see if I can just call Akiva, and then otherwise I might need you to just finish the podcast. I think we're getting close to the end. Let me see.
Okay.
Let me see if I can do this. Okay.
Hello.
Okay, Akiva, can you copy?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay. Should we finish the podcast like this? You want to explain what's going on?
Yeah, we just had a blackout. There's a storm. Yeah. I think give me 1 minute. I think
I thought the storm was going to hit Altoona.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. So all right. Then we'll just wait. We'll just wait it out for you to come back. But I think this is good. This is going great. Alex, you came out of the bullpen throwing 102 miles an hour today.
Thank you.
I'm not always used to this from Uncle Kiwi.
But finding someone in the bullpen, managing the bullpen correctly.
Throwing heat, throwing gas.
He started 32 fans this today with the audio off, so he's ending this one with the audio off also.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I have something. At the end of the movie, okay, Phil and Rita are on the dance floor. A bunch of people are coming up to Phil, like, "Oh, hey, you know, I gotta thank you again. You saved my husband. I want to, you know, you changed. You were the fastest Jack in Punxsutawney." And that somebody comes up to him and addresses him as Dr. Connors. And that Dr. Connors, okay. And apparently the wife says, oh, you fixed Felix back and now he can do chores around the house again. And Phil says, oh, I'm sorry about that, Felix. And they walk away and Andy's like, Dr. Connors? He's like, it's just like more of a honorary title. Is Phil doing chiropractic adjustments in Punxsutawney and why?
Yeah, how did he set that up in one day also? Like, how did he open up a shingle and do it? Because I was thinking, in theory, he could become... Alex, maybe ask this to Dr. Jen, your wife. Like, could he, if he spent years of his loop studying everything about it being a doctor, he probably couldn't see any patients. But if he was able to read every medical book known to man and memorize it, do you think he could...
Yeah, well, he's not licensed.
Yeah, sure. Unlicensed. But do you think he could become a capable doctor without ever seeing a patient? Because I think, with all due respect to
my wife, I think becoming a master ice carver is harder than becoming a doctor.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't even
how many doctors do you know? How many ice carvers do you know?
That, you know, you could be a doctor in 10 years. That it takes more than 10 years to master ice carving.
How does he master ice carving? Just from books, right?
That's the most impressive. The piano, the French,
and
those
he's so
are
fast
fine.
At it too. It's all done in one day.
But just stick with the chiropractic adjustment. How does this even come up? Why is this something that he, I mean, does he just like see Felix like hunched over and he cracks his back in a certain way?
I think so.
Time?
He probably he says, walks like, by him. I'm a chiropractor and then does it. Yeah. Cracks his back.
Yeah.
If someone came over to you, your back hurt and they're like, hey, I'm a chiropractor. Do you want me to try? You wouldn't be like, do you have a degree on you? Like, can you show me your diploma? You just let him do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, would you look what happened with Elaine when she let Kramer do it? I don't think you'd let somebody start cracking your bones without permission.
Did he sleep on a flat board that night?
Yeah. Listen, the medical accuracy of this movie is questionable. I like when he asks, what did the old man die of? And the nurse says, he was just old. Like, that's a thing they say in hospitals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He died of, it was his time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Old age. Yeah.
Oldness. Yeah.
Somebody asks, similar to getting addicted to drugs, if Bill Murray got a tattoo during Groundhog Day, would it stay to the next day?
No.
I think the answer is clearly no. Is there anything he could do that would sort of stick to the next day? Is there any, like the guy in Memento does already, gets tattoos. Like, is there any way he could write papers or do anything that could
no,
sort of...
No, he breaks the pencil. The pencil goes back to normal.
Break the pencil,
yeah.
There's nothing he can do.
He'd have to, remember everything.
Mm-hmm. Other than the things he doesn't try, such as staying up all night, which he appears never to try once.
Yeah.
Or leaving
Punxsutawney. In the jail cell, he might have stayed up all night.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
We should have seen
at 5:59, does he just disappear and zap back?
They should have honestly explained this, and I'm kind of confused why they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird to me, like Ramis, you know, sort of famously said he didn't want to explore the darker side of these consequences, as we said, no sex and violence. But we do have the montage of all the deaths, which is pretty dark. You know, as Akiva says, I don't think my kids should be watching putting the toaster in the bath.
That's pretty, honestly, that's really PG-13-ish. I agree. I'm surprised that
montage.
Well, that they said in some of the additional materials that I read that really the outline of the movie follows through the five stages of grief, which are famously denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And I think that they probably really wanted to explore the depression part of it, where having him try to end the loop in any way that he thought was possible. I think they do need to explore that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just think maybe he doesn't have to like be in the if it's a PG movie, doesn't have to like be in the bathtub.
Well, maybe were they looking just for comedic ways for him to?
Well, I think the car crash is very funny. Like, yeah, it's a little sad that Pee-Pee dies, Punxsutawney Phil, but I don't know if that's what we call him. But the toaster is a little extreme. Jumping off the building, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that they were just trying to find ways to sort of like lighten it up. I feel that's a very like cartoonish way to perform that kind of an act.
Mm-hmm. It's also very, and I guess he is a selfish person, but it's extremely selfish to like step in front of a truck to kill yourself, because you're going to make that driver. I mean, it's only for one day, I guess, but just be racked with guilt.
It's the worst day of his life. Right? The driver is going to. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, fortunately, it ends, you know, it's gone the next morning, but still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not nice to put a stranger through that.
Did you watch any of the deleted scenes?
No, because you said they were so bad.
Yeah, they were so bad.
But tomorrow.
But in the deleted scenes, that when he's like hustling pool, he's also making basketball bets.
Oh, see, that I would have liked. But I understand why they take that out, because that's not really his goal, to become rich. Which, mm-hmm. in fact, he can't become rich. So there's actually no reason to make them.
Yeah, there's Well, he steals the money the one time.
In the hope that, you know, day 3,422 is going to be the last day.
Mm-hmm. He also, when he steals the money from the armored car, we never really see what he does with that money.
Well, that cuts to when he shows up with the Mercedes.
Oh, and he bought a Mercedes? Is that what happened all that same
Well, day? Everybody knows there's no Starbucks in Pakistani, but there's a Mercedes dealership, obviously.
Mercedes dealer, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, wait, hold on. Is that the same day? Are you saying that maybe that this woman could be a
woman of the night?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, of course, there's also high-end brothels in Pakistani, obviously.
Yes. Well, there is a high-end piano teacher, because if you think about him paying $1,000, like if you're just like a lady who's a piano teacher in your own home and some guy comes to your porch and says, teach me piano. She's like, sorry, I have a client. I'll give you $1,000. Like if you let the person into your house, 9 out of 10 times, they're like robbing you or killing you. It's crazy that he just wants to learn piano. So I'm surprised she says yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say I really liked the piece that's playing that sort of spurs him to go seek the piano lesson, the piano sonata in C. That was one of my favorite pieces to play as a kid. So
Alex, you're a piano player. Do you think if you had endless amount of days, you'd maybe become like a world-class pianist?
Well, I wouldn't say world-class, but I was a very good pianist, you know, as a kid.
No, so if you that's had why, another, to me, you that's, know, year, 10 years to practice.
Yeah,
no?
That's why to me, the ice sculpture thing is by far the most impressive, because that to me seems impossible with even 10,000, you know, you said, Akiva, you couldn't learn French or play piano with 10,000 years. Ice sculpturing, no matter how much you practice, you still have to have like innate ability or something. I don't know.
I could, by the way, learn French, but yeah, I couldn't do the ice sculpture.
Yeah. The ice sculpture thing is the hardest for me to believe.
Mm-hmm. Someone says,
also, where in Puxatani is he getting the resources? Like he finds a piano teacher who, maybe they have a library. He finds a French book. Who's teaching him how to carve the ice sculptures?
Yeah, I don't even know if they have
just a trial
library,
and error.
Yeah, do they have a library big enough to have one ice?
Do they have just like giant ice blocks at the ready for him to work on?
But I guess if you have an endless amount of time, trial and error works. That's one frustrating thing, probably, that some days he spends just trying to pick up one piece of information to help him out with picking somebody up or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, it must suck if you like blow it one day, or you forget, or like you don't go in the order you're supposed to, and then it's like, whoops. It's like going back.
Yeah, but we see that on the dates where he like says the wrong thing and then he tries again. When he makes a mistake,
but then the whole day has been blown. It's interesting.
Well, yeah. So that's my question. Does he have to wait until 6 a.m.? Like, does he have to sit around for 8 hours?
No, he could kill himself.
So when he kills himself, it immediately goes to 6 a.m.
Sometimes for him,
but for everybody else, they still have to go through the rest of the day, which I think is...
Yeah, but maybe there's a practical point in him jumping off a building.
Yeah, but I think he could just go and like, all right, this date is over. All right, I'll be back tomorrow, and then just go like rob a bank or like, create like other mayhem in the city.
Do you think he thinks that there's a chance at the end of the movie that February 3rd is going to be a loop for him also?
Ooh, that would be rough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he must be a little nervous going to sleep at night on February 3rd.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, is this going to be... think about how this movie ends. Like you're in... First of all, this is a trivia question for Rob. Do you remember the call letters of the news station he works for?
No.
No, it's WPBH. Anyway, so you're the executive producer at WPBH.
Yeah.
Imagine you get a call. It's like, all right, we sent these people on like a 4-hour job. Three people to Punxsutawney. Two of them who appeared to not know or like each other before this are never coming back. They are moving in. I know they've been gone in the real time for less than a day.
They are
moving to Punxsutawney together.
That the experience that Phil has like altered him in a way that I think even if he was going to continue to relive February 3rd now over and over again, I think that he would find the like inner peace with that. And I think that he would accept that, especially
no
now.
One would be better suited for it than him.
No one
right?
would be better suited. And I think that he would be up for the challenge. So I don't think that he would wake up with February 3rd over again and have it be a total nightmare.
That's fair. Laughing segment, Rob. We watched the movie for a third time. You said yesterday you didn't laugh. Did you laugh at all watching the movie today?
What about Alex? Did you laugh?
Did you laugh?
Did I laugh out loud, like a literal LOL? I don't think so that I recall, but I was also watching it by myself on 2X in my office.
Right.
You've seen this movie a bunch before, to be fair.
And I've seen the movie before. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I would be more likely to laugh about something that was said on the podcast that that if it comes up to that point in the movie, like I might remember something that was said here.
It's like a callback. Yeah.
A callback. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The movie has very bad credits and they're getting worse.
What do you mean?
The opening 15 minutes of the film are getting harder and harder to watch.
I agree. The opening 15 minutes, I notice more things because they're so boring.
So boring.
By the way, my laugh was when they're on the railroad tracks and he's like, you know, people always tell you stand up straight, be nice to your sister, be kind to others. Don't drive on the railroad tracks. I don't know. That makes me laugh because it's like, oh, really? People had to tell you that one?
And the other guy says, that happens to be one that I agree with.
Yeah, I agree with. Those guys are funny.
I love that Michael Shannon, you know, this is his first movie credit. And his first movie credit is playing like a smiley, earnest, happy guy, which is so incredibly off brand for him. It's just very funny that that's his first role.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask Rob, what would you do or what would your wife and my wife do if for our wedding present, we were gifted tickets to WrestleMania?
Yeah, probably not happy.
I don't think she's writing the thank you note there, you know? Mm-hmm. You probably have to write that one.
Yeah. Maybe if it's like some sort of like VIP tickets where it's like we're in a box or something.
You would go to WrestleMania in a box.
There's no level of Venus or Inus.
Yeah.
That my wife would be interested in going to a wrestling
match. Yeah.
She wouldn't be interested, but I think that my wife would be excited about going to some sort of like an event that other people wanted to go to. Like, I think that at some point she would be excited about like, oh, this, you're going to be in, you know, the VIP box at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that might be able to like get her a little intrigued.
Is there a more dated word than the word Bill Murray uses in this movie? Humdinger.
Humdinger?
He's like, that's a real humdinger.
What is?
I don't even, do you remember where he says it? Now we have to watch for tomorrow.
Yeah, what was a humdinger?
I just wrote down in my notes humdinger.
I bet there's more dated words in this movie than humdinger.
Humdinger is a Ned Ryerson word, I would think.
Yeah, but Bill Murray says it. I agree. Yeah. It should be something that he says. I mean, doozy is a Ned Ryerson word.
Rob, have you ever, not kosher for Keith and I, have you ever had blood sausage?
No.
What is it?
I looked it up on Wikipedia. It sounds so gross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't sound
it's
super
like, it's
appetizing.
It's congealed. Well, but Rita likes it.
Mm-hmm. Does she really? She says she does.
He uses it as his example of like the grossest, like stupid. Yeah, like the same way someone would be like, oh, yeah, the most popular show was Young Sheldon or whatever. Like he's saying it for my wife watches Young Sheldon. I'm not knocking Young Sheldon if you watch it. But is like, yeah, people even watch like blood sausage. Like it's something people know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's just fallen out. Maybe they like shame people and stop liking it. It used to be popular.
Yeah.
Also, a flapjack. I don't know what a flapjack is. Do you know what a flapjack
pancake.
Is?
It's pancakes.
That's what I thought. But when I Googled it, it seems like it could be a cookie or something.
The Dr. Seuss word.
Flapjack?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Give any more questions from the listeners?
Lots. We have some theories, but we already dropped one today. I want to do like one theory a day. Did either of you guys, Brad wants to know, catch any timeline breaks? Are there any timeline things that you caught that maybe don't make any sense?
What do you mean like a timeline break?
Like maybe something is inaccurate, basically. Like
when when he's walking towards Ned Ryerson in the background, on some days there's flags in the background, on some days there aren't.
You notice that?
No, the Amazon told me that.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I think there are some continuity errors in the film. Like sometimes that Bill Murray does things faster than he would have, but the same things are still happening.
Oh, the big goof that a bunch of people wrote in on is that in early February, it would not be light at 6 a.m. in Punxsutawney.
Okay.
And that it would not until about 7:30, but everyone said it's crazy that it's light there.
Got there. Oh, and
another goof that Amazon told me in the first minute of the movie, it says at the beginning of the movie, Phil is giving the weather report. He says if he had a choice where he could be, he would be in Elko, Nevada, because that's where the nation's high is of 79. In fact, on February 1st, the day before Groundhog's Day, Elko would be very cold. It would not be a place that would have the nation's highest temperature in February. The highest temperature in Elko, Nevada.
How do they know?
I mean, the highest temperature ever recorded in Elko, Nevada was 69 degrees in February of 1905.
Hmm. This is a character from IMDb that I wrote down. So Phil is playing with the band, right? And the piano teacher's happy about it. She says, I'm so proud of him, blah, 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 blah. Even Max, they had one lesson that day, right? For an hour or something. So why would she be proud that she gave one lesson to like this world?
You said this, Akiva, are you on a time loop? You said this on the podcast either yesterday or the day before.
No, I'm saying something different.
Okay.
I'm talking about the jazz band versus just, this is a Groundhog Day. We should say all of our things every day.
So you're saying that the jazz band would have had a piano player already?
No, I'm saying, why is she taking any credit for this?
Yeah, that was the exact question you asked either yesterday or the day before. As a listener, I can tell you.
Then I was talking about it at the house, and now I'm talking about it with the band.
No, you were specifically talking about when she says proudly, he's my student. And you said, why is she taking credit for that?
Okay.
Why don't you be like the people that tweet me, the rooster's giving eggs or whatever?
it's a fair question.
I want to also shout out another casting find that in the beginning of the movie, the late, great Willie Garson, most famously Stanford from Sex and the City, who recently passed away.
He's great.
He shows up there. He is a... what would you say? Like one of the
PA.
Yeah. Or I felt like that he's sort of one of the top executives there, at the news station talking about that.
Executive. He's an underling though. His dream is to do the 5 o'clock weather. Okay. Right. Yeah, by the way, IMDb credits him as an assistant. So
assistant. Okay. Akiva, we were having a conversation yesterday about, does Phil really have an offer from the Home Shopping Network, or is Chris Elliott just zinging him? What was your take on that today?
No, I still think he's making a joke. I think it's like Home Shopping Network was probably new and it was like funny to joke about. And that's my guess is that he's just making fun, that it's like the worst network.
Alex, do you have a thought on this conversation?
Yeah, I'm on the other side. He's bragging about how he has a network offer. And the way that Chris sort of blows up his spot, it seems like Chris is saying something accurate.
Yeah. And I feel like that. And Phil's like,
I'm only inviting people on, going forward that agree with me that he's being joking about it.
David, I don't know how to say his name, Pasquese, the guy who plays a psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
He's the smarmy second gentleman in Veep.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I like him a lot. And then casting, which I think you were asking about, Rob, apparently, according to Amazon, Tori Amos was considered before Andy McDowell for the Rita character, which I was just looking her up on Wikipedia. She, not an actress at all. I mean, a pretty high profile singer in the early 90s, but not an actress.
Again, this is more Hollywood mumbo jumbo.
Yeah.
But what motivation do they have to make that up about her of all people?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a great lie. No one's going to call you on that.
Okay. Going back to Andy McDowell, do we have a favorite Andy McDowell role? Is there anything else that she's in that we really like?
Well, I really
liked
her in Maid. She is the mother with a lot of issues, and the star of the show is her real life daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. Netflix show Maid.
Yeah, I know she's in Multiplicity. Not a movie that I know well. I know it's a beloved film for some.
Mm-hmm. She's in Four Weddings and a Funeral, or Three Men and a Baby. One of those.
Let's see. What's her big four on the IMDb? Okay. Her big four, her Mount Rushmore on IMDb, of course, Groundhog Day, Four Weddings and a Funeral, Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
Okay.
There's not a lot of videotape in this movie other than what Chris Elliott films.
Yeah.
And Hudson Hawk.
But there's lots of lies and a little bit of sex.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's not a bad four, although none of them are recent.
Hudson Hawk, what is that?
Hudson Hawk, Bruce Willis was famous for being like a big flop at the box office.
Yeah, it was
Bruce,
a flop. It was, it was like a big effort, that flop.
Bruce Willis action hero movie. Catch the Excitement, Catch the Adventure, Catch the Hawk, Hudson Hawk. Put in the crappy movie diaper. All right. I think we got to start to wrap things up here for today. Alex, any other thoughts here?
What is this? Some kind of one night stand?
No. Will you marry us?
Yeah. Oh, okay. In that case, yes. Yeah. Well, what, how did she think it wasn't a one night stand? She knows that he doesn't live in Punxsutawney.
Yeah. It's like, were they getting married in her mind?
Well, apparently once he offers it, she's all into him again, even when he messes up her name again. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, valid question.
Was she a local, or was she just in town for the festivities? She says she never misses it.
Oh, Well, she went to high school in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think
she goes by herself. That's a weird thing to do by yourself.
Yeah. Mm.
You know,
well, I think she must already live there. According to Amazon,
she's such a big fan. She moved to Punxsutawney.
Amazon claims that this movie is what made this a big event. Like, it was just a local thing in Punxsutawney.
Listeners have written in the same thing. I can't tell you how many people keep writing in and saying, like, we watch it every year. I watch it with my dad. So many people. It's such a family movie. I had no idea. Never watched it.
Maybe that should be
family.
The site of the next live show, Punxsutawney.
I would do it. That's one of the people on
February 2nd.
Akiva, Rob, Chester, would they go to Gobbler's Knob and find a hot tub and do the podcast live from Gobbler's Knob?
Alex, I said we should go off season, though.
Mm. Does anybody go to Punxsutawney in any other season?
That's true. It's like going to the Hamptons a little
bit.
I
think we could run this town. Yeah.
That's true.
Movie not shot in the town, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to go to Woodstock, Illinois?
Yeah, Woodstock.
Go to Woodstock. Okay. All right. Alex, anything else you want to plug?
No, I will not be here tomorrow or the next day or the next day. This is a one-time appearance for me. I survived. Okay, well, I learned all my lessons and I'm moving on.
Can we do grades, though?
Okay.
I mean, we do want to plug. First of all, you do want to plug 32 Fans, the show we do together. We just recorded a Super Bowl preview. We talked about the Super Bowl for maximum 5 minutes, but you know,
yeah, a lot more talk. What did we talk about? Yeah. Bar mitzvahs.
Mm-hmm. We talked a lot about bar mitzvahs.
Birthday of Rob as a podcast on Sunday.
Yeah, we got the bar mitzvah for RHP coming up. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, I revealed how much money I got for my bar mitzvah. Hopefully, RHP gets more money for their bar mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
Other fun stuff. NGOG also should be coming out. Ali says. If you want to know what undunking it is, listen to that episode. It is quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But can we rate? Yeah.
By the
Rob,
way, should I start an $18 a podcast Patreon tier on Sunday?
That would be funny.
Yeah.
Or should it be 13 for bar mitzvah? No, probably 18 because it's more money. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be funny. Hi. If RHP
maybe
is your
it's 13
life,
in Minnesota, but 18 in New York.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If RHP is your life, then hi. Mm-hmm. The high Patreon level is for you. That would be funny.
Okay. All right. Akiva, what's coming up for you? Oh, you want to do your ratings? Okay. What's your rating on the movie?
Well, Alex, you're our guest. You go first. What do you think about the movie and how sick of you are after listening to the podcast for 2 days and being on it?
What am I rating it out of? Out of 5? Out of 10?
Out of 10. You listen to the podcast. So it's 10 groundhogs.
Okay. Okay. I will give the movie, 8.9 groundhogs.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's a very good movie. But I've only watched it once in the last 3 days.
That's true.
Nobody's given a decimal point yet.
Yeah, I like the score of the decimal point. It shows he's putting thought into it.
All right, and what about the podcast project?
I'm loving it. More Renap, better Renap.
Okay. Should we go daily with Renap, but just in general, Akiva?
Permanently, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
if you're offering, I'm accepting.
A good groove here.
We're doing well.
What was the last episode?
And I got to compliment you guys also, because I thought, especially knowing Akiva, at least the way he treats 32 fans, I guess Renap is more important to him. I thought if they're going every day, these episodes are going to be like 20, 30 minutes long. But no, you've been pumping out an hour and a half every day.
I mean, I cleared my schedule weeks in advance.
This is
my idea. So I really had to I didn't want to be the stick in the mud. Mm-hmm.
Are they going to get shorter each day, Rob?
No, I don't think so.
This is my busiest day of the week today. So I do have to run.
All right. So my score is for the movie, it's slipping a little bit. It's still a great movie. This is on the third time. I'll say 7.8. The podcast did 10. I'm having a great time. I don't regret it. The goal was to not regret it. I didn't want to force Rob into something he didn't like, but, so far it's going well.
Yeah, I'd say the movie, I'm a little bit down to a 7 on the movie, but okay. I'll say I'm still a 9 on the podcast project.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Alex, this was great to have you here. Of course, we all miss Eric, but that you came in out of the bullpen in a spot start, threw heat out of the bullpen, and we appreciate that.
Okay. Happy to be in the bullpen.
Yeah. On short notice. Thank you so much for being here and helping us have a great podcast today.
Okay. And I'll hear you guys tomorrow and the next day. I'm excited.
And the next day. Okay. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Take care. And we'll see you tomorrow.